Oh, that would have been so funny.
But I'm not lying. I'm not lying. Like, it's my one. I'm not going to explain what I'm talking about because then you have ammo, but it's the one thing that I've always done and I don't. Yeah, it's embarrassing.
Well, hey, you know, you look good for your age.
That's right. Get. What do you want to talk about today?
Yeah, episode 8. I guess this would be episode 8. We're just a couple days from Christmas. Selling Houses podcast does not stop for the holidays or sickness. Apologies, I sound awful today because I am sick. That's okay. We wanted to make sure that we promise consistency and we're going to deliver. And a big shout out to Paul for making me get my butt out of bed and down in front of my microphone so that we can do this. We'll keep it short today because we all got holiday shopping to do and rest to get and all that fun stuff. But we haven't talked about rates, and I don't want to like talk about like specific rates because these podcasts will sit here forever and that sort of thing. So this is December 22nd of 2023. Anyone listening to this, you know, in January, February, that's going to be outdated. But rates have, some people are like, oh, rates are finally going down a little bit. And some people say, oh, rates are kind of sitting still. Like, what's the lay of the land there, buddy?
Yeah, I'd love to, you know, address it a little bit. And like you said, rates change, you know, even by the new year, I think we're going to see changes again. So, but the good news is, and rates are dictated by several things. So anything in Canada that happens is related to what happened in the States the day before, roughly, right? So when the Bank of Canada meets, they typically will look at what the Fed did in the States, the Federal Reserve. And so good news in the States, they have some good numbers there with inflation and just with their economy. And so instantly we saw the bond yields drop. And that means that that's what the mortgage rates are based off of. So now we're seeing subsequent decreases to fixed mortgage rates. So that's been great news. Like, you know, I think 3 weeks ago, my best mortgage rate would have been, I don't know, 5.44%. And now I'm at 5.24% within the span of, I think, a week. And I think we're going to see it drop another 5 points to maybe 5.19%. You know, if it wasn't Christmas, I would be guessing that Monday it would be at 5.19%. So let's just say Wednesday next week, 5.19%. So good news, rates are dropping. There's a bunch of reasons why. I think news from the Bank of Canada regarding their rates, and for everyone that's listened before, the Bank of Canada is the one that has like a rate that they set that all the lenders and institutions have to use to balance their books and lend money. And so when the Bank of Canada is trying to impact the economy and the country, they'll play with that rate to either curb spending or induce more spending. And so they've been increasing that rate quite a bit the last couple of years to get inflation down, to reduce spending. And they've now, it's sort of the writing on the wall is that we've reached the ceiling there at the Bank of Canada. And anytime the Bank of Canada makes an announcement that directly impacts variable rates, the fixed rates also kind of are affected a little bit the next day too. So long story short, they meet 8 times a year. I would hazard to guess that we've reached our ceiling for increases. The last, I think, 2 or 3 times we've stayed the same. And I am reading and seeing that there'll be a bunch of decreases, hopefully this year, to the variable rates. And and fixed rates are kind of dropping as well. So great news on the rate front going into 2024.
Cool. I think, you know, as we're in this weird part of the year where real estate tends to be pretty slow right now, obviously Christmas, that sort of thing. The cycle of the year tends to see this part of the year very slow for real estate. So, but what starts to happen is everyone starts to get ramped up for spring, right? People who are looking to sell, they start to get, you know, oh, they're finishing up renos. They're starting to get their house ready. Thinking back to the last couple of years where the market's been really, really, really busy with people buying, you know, we're starting to come up now where people are renewing their terms. So I wanted to ask you a little bit about how do these rates affect renewals? Just your whole 2 cents on that. And like if someone went to their big bank and got a mortgage and it's time to renew, they're getting a letter from their bank saying, hey, it's time to renew your mortgage. Most people just take the letter, they go down to the bank. They normally present like 3 or 4 interest rate options and you kind of just pick one. And then off you go. Is there any benefit to, even though they didn't use you or a broker to get their mortgage set up in the first place, is there any benefit to still calling you at renewal time?
Oh, that's the best setup for my business you could ever provide, Tyler. Yeah, 100%. So here's, Case in point, this happened to me 30 minutes ago. I had a client, a potential client, reach out. Hey, I heard about you, and my mortgage is up for renewal in the spring. I just got a letter from my bank, and they're offering me 6.3% 5-year fix. They say I should take it right now, renew early. And he says, "Is that a good idea?" I said, "No." I said, "Anytime any lender reaches out to you early and want you to do something now, do you think they're doing it to save you money or make themselves money, right? Like, let's be
Absolutely.
realistic, right?" So
Yeah.
like, hey, lock in early. So this gentleman had 3.5 for another 5 months, 3.4 months for 4 months, 3.5% interest rate from back in 2019. And they were offering him like 6.1 or something to renew early. And like I just told you 5 minutes ago, I have 5.24.
Yeah.
So they were offering him renew now at 6.1. We'll give you a deal and we'll start it right now. No, keep your 3.5 for 4 months and let me shop over the next 4 months for you. And once your renewal is up on, in April, we'll move you over to the new lender. And what we'll do now is I'll shop the landscape. And I'll always say, talk to your lender first, find out what their offer is. Because if their offer is good, which it never is, but if it is randomly like decent, I'll say, hey, client, that's actually a good rate, Let's save you not having to get me 8 documents and sign some stuff. Stick with them. It's a good rate. All good. Now, 98% of the time, I can get a better rate. And so, what I'll do is in this exact scenario, I said, okay, they've given you their rates 4 months in advance. Let's get the ball rolling here. Let's look at a new lender. I can get you 5.24. We'll send it in. If rates drop before April 10th, your renewal date, I can keep dropping your rate. Anytime that lender drops their rate, there are lenders out there that once you sign, even if you're signing in advance for April and their bank rates drop before that, they won't honor the best rate. That does
No.
happen,
And that's what I
right?
was thinking. Like, that's why they're sending those letters out now, because they know rates are probably coming down, which for them, they love the high rates, right? It makes them more money. So they're probably going like, oh crap, in 5 months, we might only get this guy at 5.7. We can get him maybe at 6.1 now, lock him in early, sell it as a deal. And they probably play the card of like, hey, no one really knows what's going to happen. Rates could be much higher.
Yep,
And it's just
100%. That's what they do.
BS.
And the other side of the coin is they either do it early and they bank on the fact that I forget the numbers, but the majority of mortgage holders out there, when they get that letter, it can be an anxiety-provoking letter, right? No one likes thinking about owing someone hundreds of thousands of dollars, right?
Yeah.
So, I remember back in the day when I was first making money and paying taxes and I never want to look at my bank account because it was stress provoking, right? Looking at the ins and outs and the bill payments. So most people will just say, circle it or click the email, select one of the 5 options that the bank emailed them, and then they don't have to think about it for 5 years. So
Yeah.
that's what the bank's on. Now, the other side of the coin is some lenders will wait till two. This just happened again this morning. It's been a busy morning. Some lenders will wait till about 2 weeks before your renewal date, and then they'll send you some options because they know within 2 weeks it's impossible to switch lenders within 2 weeks.
Nah,
So they
that's
either do it,
mean. I don't like
yeah, they
that.
either do it really early to try and like just hope you just pick one and move on, or they wait till the very end. So what I always do with everyone, because I'm commission based, my compensation is based on how well I do my job with all the lenders that I work with. So if I send in 30 files like this, and only, in this scenario, if this person in April sticks with their bank, well, that goes on my scorecard. Like that's a canceled file. If I have too many canceled files, lenders won't work with me because it's a waste of their time. It costs them, $600, $500 to underwrite a file, do all the work. So if they're not going to get paid, they clearly won't pay me. But yeah, if my batting average is too low, I get cut off from lenders. So that's why what I tell with
Oh,
clients, I say,
shit.
oh yeah. That's why, like, if people just say, oh, it's through the wall, I know I'm bankrupt, but see if the bank will approve it. It's like, eh. Like, it ruins my reputation. And then, and the fact is, like, I can get you, Tyler, sometimes like a 1 or 2 day turnaround on a financing condition because I have a good reputation with lenders, right?
Yeah.
They love seeing my files because I bat 100%. It's not going to be a waste of their time. So what I typically tell clients is get me your offer. Let's look at it. Let's renew it. And at this point, if we're going to lock something in, do I have your commitment that you're going to stick with me since I'm giving you the best rate up front. I'm not playing this smoke and mirrors game like the bank, where, like, because a lot of times people will use brokers in a negative way. They'll get guys like me to do all the work, do all the quotes, give them advice on paying down bills and paying off loans. And then they'll go back to their bank and say, hey, here's the email thread from Paul. Can you match what he's doing? And then they'll do it. So
Ugh.
it happens. No, it doesn't happen to me
Yeah.
because I say, guys, look, like I got a family. I work on commission. I'm putting my neck on the line. If I'm getting you the best rate right now, will you commit to sticking with it and go from there?
Why wouldn't you? I mean, like,
Yeah.
yeah, people that do that kind of stuff really drives me nuts. It's like you went through all the time and you're waiting for people to, they're waiting for you to get all the work done just so they could take it back to their, why? Because they don't feel like filling out any more paperwork. Then like don't bother people like
Yeah.
you, just stick with your
Right.
bank anyway.
And
That's
when I
just
told, yeah, no. And I told people, like, when I can weed those phone callers out pretty quick. But like, I'll just be like, hey, if you want the best rate, here's what it is, 5.24. If you're gonna stick with your bank, I'll give you a letter in writing saying 5.24. Take it and have them match it. Like, if you don't want a deal, if you don't want to, like, and again, a lot of times banks won't match. I'll put it that way, but I always ask for a commitment. I say, let's get their best rates up front, and then let's see if I can shop around and get better. Because the banks will try and keep as much money in their pockets as they can, versus my job is to do the best I can for the client, and that's getting the best rate. So, and I keep them in the loop. Like, it's super exciting. Like this week, a couple times I had client signings, and they showed up, and their payment was $100 a month less because I got their rate dropped like 50 points over the last 2 months since we talked. So, I'm constantly monitoring each file, and if that lender has a rate drop, I proactively just go and ask for it. So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Nice. That's awesome, man. And I
Mm-hmm.
guess like we're gonna keep this episode a little shorter, but I think we got time for another little segment. And I
Yeah.
was gonna talk to you about folks that have a rate hold right now. We kind of touched on this a little bit in the last episode where, they come to you, they get pre-approved, they've got a rate hold, and then, they want to offer more than what that you guys had talked about. So with spring coming up, I know rate holds typically wouldn't last from now until spring, but say someone gets pre-approved, late Jan, Feb, or whatever, and spring comes, and say interest rates have come down enough to stimulate a busy spring market, and with that prices start to go up, and now all of a sudden the houses that they've been looking at in the $400,000 range are now creeping into the 450 range. What advice would you give to folks who are getting pre-approved now, but probably aren't going to buy until the spring when it comes to these rates?
Yeah, great question. I would say, I mean, it's always worth getting the ball rolling early because it happens every time. People say, oh, Paul, like it's going to be June till I buy. Let's just talk in May. And I'm like, no, because like it'll be January 3rd at 7 p.m. Paul, I found a house. So let's get the ball rolling. We can typically lock a rate for 120 days with most lenders. Some lenders, it's 90. I've seen some lenders that do 60 out there, but I have access to 120 days. And what that also means, a common myth is that you just have to have a purchase agreement within that 120 days. It's not the case that the actual mortgage has to fund within 120 days. The funds have to hit the lender's account. So even if you close on day 119, it doesn't always mean that the funds are released and it closes on day 119. It might take till day 122, and at that point the rate changes. I've seen it happen, not with my clients because I coach them well, and I say, hey, let's do possession, like treat this 120 day financing rate hold as 115 days, because just to be careful, right? So you have 115 days to move into something. Locking a rate is good right now with what I'm seeing, and I'm projecting rates to continue to drop over the next year. I don't really think a rate hold is that necessary. I think they're
Was
just gonna,
literally just gonna ask that. Like, is it
yeah,
even like something
no.
that people should even be focusing on right now with rates coming down? Like,
No.
why lock yourself in? You lock in at 5.7, and then by spring it's 5.1. You're like, damn it.
know. And same, I've never been a big rate hold guy in the first place because for the first 3 years of my career, rates were, well, 4 years, honestly, 4 years of my first five, rates were dropping. And so there was just that 1 year bit and a bit like last year where rates were kind of increasing. But even still with rate holds, Now you got to pick one lender, and I won't send one file to four lenders and hold four different rates. I won't, because same thing. I'm gonna have to cancel it with three lenders, and
Ugh.
then that's three X's on my scorecard. So again, clients don't care, but it's a relationship thing, and you're wasting everyone's time. So
And people need to understand that those relationship things are really important, because you can't do your job as good as you can right now if you don't maintain that relationship, right? So like, it's no different than agents writing offers with clients who aren't pre-approved, right? We work with other realtors all the time. You know, we're writing offers, and if agent one is writing offers with clients that they haven't properly vetted, haven't had pre-approved, and you know, we're backing out of deals due to financing not coming through, like eventually that catches up with that agent, and they just go like, okay, yeah, I've had this agent write on my listings before, but you know, for some reason his clients can't seem to get approved. Doesn't sound like he vets them very well. And I think it's, you know, like they'll take that into consideration. So it's same for you, you know, like don't get upset if someone says like, hey, we need to do this right so I can maintain my reputation. I had a client get fired up at me about that this year.
Oh no.
Yeah, seriously, he did. He got all fired up at me because I said like, look, like this is going to affect my reputation. And you know, and this was a one-off weird scenario, but yeah, like he wanted to proceed in a very unusual fashion with a listing, and it was just something that I wasn't comfortable with, and I just said like, look, it's probably best if you had someone else do it. This is not something it's going to affect my reputation, and it was in an area where I do a lot of business, and I want to be able to continue to do a lot of business there. So
It's not worth
yeah,
it. And
exactly.
yeah, and the nice thing about this industry is you can pick and choose who you want to work with, right? So clients choose you to work with you, and you also can select the clients that you feel comfortable with and that you know you can provide good service to. Because if you don't see things the same way, neither of you will be happy. And so I'm more than happy to you refer them to someone else if I don't think it's gonna be a good fit. And it's very rare. I've never, it's one out of 1,000 that I have to do that with. But what I was gonna say is, interest rate wise, rate holds, and there's certain rate holds, certain companies, banks that will only let you do like one drop. Or if you buy, I've seen some banks, like if you have a rate hold and all of a sudden you get a house, that they'll make you keep that original rate, not even if in the future their rates are lower. So just be careful. Like again, that never happens with Paul, with me. So just be careful, deal with a professional, deal with someone who's going to have your back, look around, shop for you. And to answer your question though, like that you asked, with if interest rates come down, we'll see more likely like a increase in competition on purchases, right? So if you have a rate hold at 5.79 and you're pre-approved for a mortgage of 450 with a $80,000 down payment, well, now that I can get you 5.39 on that type of mortgage, well, you could probably get a mortgage of 462, not just 450. So as rates go down, we can get you a bit of a bigger mortgage, because now we're qualifying you at a lower rate. So keep that in mind. If rates are dropping, if you have a mortgage pre-approval with someone, you can reach out and say, hey, look, have rates changed? Has my mortgage amount changed? And that's something that I handle for my clients.
Nice full service.
Yep. And I was going to add, just when we talked about the whole renewal thing, it doesn't cost you to switch lenders with me. So however, when you do switch, if you just go to some random bank, you're leaving bank A to go to bank B on your own. Bank B will have to, the one that you're going to, will have to pay some legal fees, like to change like title changes and I guess pay for this transfer between the two lenders. There are costs, roughly about $600. Sometimes there's an appraisal, $300. So in some cases, it's going to cost somebody $900. So with me, however, the lenders that I work with, if your mortgage is, over $100,000, the switch is covered. All the fees are paid for. So that's something to keep in mind,
Oh.
because banks will try and scare you and say, oh, it's too expensive to move. Oh, you don't want to do that. There will always be a discharge fee, the lender that you do leave. So I think it's kind
Of
of silly.
course.
I used to think it was silly, but now I get it. So put it this way. You fulfilled your term at the Bank of Manitoba. Your term is up on June 1st. Well, Paul gets you a much better rate somewhere else. So that lender, the Bank of Manitoba, they're still going to charge you $200 or $300 to wrap up your whole file when you're leaving. And I used to think that was dumb, but I get it. They fulfilled their term. You guys have fulfilled your agreement. There is work for them to do to kind of work with the new lender a little bit. So they typically charge a discharge fee. And so what I was getting at, on top of the legal fees to switch, Sometimes there's an appraisal. That stuff's all covered. I also have some lenders that will still get that will also give you a credit towards that discharge fee at your other bank as well. So it can be fully free to move.
Nice. Nice. So that's really good because there's going to be a lot of people who are coming up into that scenario this spring, as with every year in the spring.
But
But
I've heard that there's like X amount of billions of dollars of mortgages up for renewal this year, and you know, in the next year or two, like because of like the heat of the market once the pandemic hit, like in the next couple of years, there's gonna be a lot of people that had their first mortgages that are up for renewal. So
well, and they got
it's
them at
exciting.
stupid low rates. And now anything compared to that, it's like, it's going to look awful when you had 1.6. So
Interesting.
now, yeah. So it's just everything's going to look really bad. So they're all going to be shopping for like the lowest possible rate to try and stay as close to what they had before. So I think Paul might be pretty busy over the next couple springs. What about people with blended or like porting mortgages? So say you did buy a house and you got like a 1.6% rate, and now you're looking at maybe buying another house and you want to shop around, like what says you to that?
No, even if you're with a bank, so I work with whatever, I can name all the lenders. There's two big banks, there's three credit unions, then there's 20 other mortgage lenders that just do mortgages that are typically my favorite because they have cheaper fees, better rates. So, but what I always say is, even if it's with one of the lenders that I don't deal with, I'll still give you free advice 100% because I want to help you, and I also want you to come back to me when I can help you and get paid. So talk to me. Hey Paul, I'm at RBC. I'm selling my home and I want to buy a new one. I still have 2 years left. My rate is 2.89. What do I do? And I'll do the math. I'll say, all right, well, your mortgage is only 250 and it was at 289, but the new home, you've leveled up and now you're going to need a mortgage of, 500 grand. Well, when it comes to that, I'll say, all right, you have 250 at your 289 and you need another 250 at 5.8% at your bank. Your bank might let you combine the two. So now you have a new mortgage of 500 and they'll average those two interest rates. So 289 and 589, and maybe they'll give you a new rate of, I don't know, 4.3, but they might make you keep the amortization the same as your original amortization. So that house that had 250 owing on it, you've had it for 10 years. Maybe your remaining amortization was only 15 years left. Well, do you really want a new mortgage of 500 grand at 15 years? Those payments are going to be huge. So not every lender does it the same way. They all do it differently. And I will give you advice on, hey, sure, blending gets you a better rate, but they might keep your amortization at the original amortization, which is going to jack your payments up drastically. Also, if it's an insured mortgage, I'll say, we can, again, I've never heard of a big bank doing this, but Paul does this. I'll go back and look at your original mortgage. I'll find out if it was insured, like if they paid the CMHC fees.
Yep.
And I will do the math on if the new purchase is insured, can we port that CMHC premium they paid 10 years ago, 20 grand, whatever it was, can we move that to the new one so they don't have to pay it again? And there have been so many clients that have done that at banks. And they paid the full premium again, and no one ever even looked to see if it made sense to port the premium. I saved a guy 12 grand last year because of that. I did that. Now, there are some times when the math doesn't work out. Like if you're increasing the mortgage by too much, you have to pay a top up of CMHC fees on the increased 250 grand. Well, at that increased amount, that rate is higher. So you're better off just paying the full CMHC fees on the purchase.
Right.
Because to top up, they charge you a really high premium. But at least I look into it. I do the math to make sure that can we get credit for the CMHC fees you paid 10 years ago or not? So that's all stuff that I'm going to say it a lot of times at branch level, they won't think about, they don't care about, they don't have the time to do, or they don't even know about it. And that's why I'm an expert.
Nice, man. Nice.
There you
Well, and
go.
like full service. And again, I know like not trying to pump your tires too much. I can see your head getting bigger in the camera, but the it's just like that's extra value, right? You don't have to do that, but you're going to talk to these folks who, where you might say it's best for you to just stay with what you got. But I really appreciate the fact that you're willing to talk to everybody and at least educate them because like knowledge is power, right? And when it comes to mortgages, as I'm learning the more and more we do this show, there is a lot that goes on your side of the business that the general public doesn't. And man, when I got my first mortgage, it was literally just sat down at the bank. Here's a stack of papers, start signing. And it was like, sweet, I'm getting keys to a house. Who cares? Right.
Yeah,
And it was
same.
just sign, 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 sign. Sure. Awesome. We're good. Yeah, you're good. Okay, bye.
Yep.
And you know, I think there's a lot of people like that because the entire process of purchasing a home is stressful and there's so much that goes into it. I love that we're doing this to help educate people and get folks up to speed on what's happening, you know, in the market and in the whole process, and education is good.
Well, and that's huge. And I think I never knew how many variables came into play on a simple mortgage transaction either. And it's not simple. Like in the last 10 days, I've had stuff where it's like lender wouldn't do a file because there was an issue with the well on the property, or it's a shared well, or I had some lenders that wouldn't do a file because in a rural community there was a septic holding tank and municipal for sewage, so like two both ways of doing it, and like so part of it was holding tank and
Yep.
then part of it was municipal. I had some lenders say no to it. I had some lenders where the client was taking money from their corporate account to put towards their down payment, and the lender said no, you can't do it because the other person who owns the corp with you isn't on this purchase agreement, so we don't know
Oof.
if they're okay with you taking out 80 grand or whatever. So they said, no, we're not doing it. Like that's their policy. So there's so many things where if you've just gone to some random lender for a pre-approval, you didn't tell them that the down payment was coming from the family trust, your parents, you know, or you didn't tell them that it had a holding tank, or you didn't tell them that it was aluminum wire. Like there's so many variables so that I keep on
Yep.
track of that. And just to circle back on the porting thing, I will tell clients when it's in their best interest to stay with that lender because I want them to be happy and I look out for them. And there are times when it is best. And yeah, run the math. Let's do the math. And then I'll let you know if you should stick with them or if we should shop somewhere else. And I also bring up one thing that came up a lot this year was people trying to assume mortgages, or at least I was seeing realtors putting in MLS listings like, hey, you can assume their rate of 1.99. And I don't know if you and I talked about this.
No, we haven't.
There are lenders that will do that. And a lot of mortgages have that function. But what no one markets and no one puts on those MLS listings is it can be for just the same mortgage amount. So if it's a $500,000 purchase and you're putting on your MLS listing, hey, you can assume the client's interest rate of 1.89. Well, are you putting in there that the client only owes 190 grand and that's the mortgage that you can assume is 190 grand at 1.99?
So then you got to, like you said, blend the other rate with the remaining 400,000, and now all of a sudden you're
If
right
they'll
back where you
do
started.
that, if
Yeah.
they'll do that, there's lenders, some lenders that won't. Dude, there's some lenders that will say you can assume that mortgage of 199 grand, and the new buyers have to qualify at that same lender that the people selling were at. So some lenders will say, sure, you can assume they're 199, and if you only have 5% down on 500 grand, that you still need another 275. So we'll blend that. Some lenders will say, no, you need $305,000 down to get that rate because you
Damn.
can only keep the 199 at 190. So tons of options. So yeah, talk to Paul. That's all.
Right on, man. Well, I think that's all the time that we're gonna dedicate to this Christmas episode today. And then we'll be back next week, because if I can get down here and do this today, I should be able to do another one next week. Happy holidays to everyone who's listening around Christmas time. That's it for the Selling Houses podcast this week. Episode 9 next week.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Thanks for listening, and we'll chat again in the near.